Hello and welcome to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. I'm John Stillman alongside Joel Johnson, certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. Joel has been published in Forbes, the Wall Street Journal, and the Hartford Business Journal. He's the host of Better Money on WFSB Channel 3 on the Saturday and Sunday morning news with Kara Sundlin, and he's an analyst for Fox Business, Fox Connecticut, NBC 30, and WTNH Channel 8, the author of six of his own books, including most famously, The Money Map. Joel, hope you're doing well this week. And, you know, the old saying used to be, sell in May and go away. That is to say, don't expect the market to do well for the rest of the year, especially during the summer. Sell in May and go away. Is there truth to that rumor or not?
Well, there seems to be this year, at least to the first few weeks of May. The saying is actually sell in May and go away, but you're supposed to buy back in October. And, you know, believe me, folks, don't make any decisions based on what I'm about to say. But there are some theories that say if you can skip May through October in the markets, you take out a lot of the downside that historically has happened. Seems that the summertime seems to be not as well as far as market performance as the rest of the year. Now, we don't trade based on that. We believe in long-term investing. And for every time that you're right in timing the market, there's another time that you're wrong. And you have to be right twice to get in and out and so on. So we believe in that long-term plan. But my goodness, the first few weeks of May have been pretty rough in the markets. And we'll see what the summer has to come.
Well, if that's the strategy, to just get out of the market in May and stay out till October, that fits my lifestyle perfectly. I can just go for my five-month Nantucket vacation that I take every year. Don't even have to think about it.
There you go.
Sign me up for that. I don't actually take a five-month Nantucket vacation. Just wanted to clarify on that. So, Joel, we're going to talk today about some items, and you can tell us if they're underrated or overrated. Okay, now some of these, most of these, are in the financial realm, but I'm going to throw a few non-financial items at you. You tell us if they're overrated or underrated.
Okay? Now, when you throw the non-financial items at me, John, we have to be very clear that it is my opinion on the non-financial items. So I might rub some folks the wrong way here on some of these things.
Fair enough. So we'll start with a financial one, which is variable annuities. Overrated or underrated, Joel?
Well, I think it depends on who you're talking to. If you're talking to the brokers that push variable annuities, they're definitely overrated because many times people buy a variable annuity and it's not the right thing for them. They were sold the variable annuity. They were pushed into the variable annuity and it ends up disappointing them over the long run, whether it's with the high fees or the underperformance of the funds or they find out they can't get all their money back at one time. Variable annuities definitely are overrated by some of the folks that sell them. But since they're trashed so much in the press and online and so on, maybe they're not overrated. The thing to remember, folks, is there's four different types of annuities. The variable annuities are the ones that you usually hear talked about when people say there are high fees. There are actually some annuities, including annuities that back pension plans of major Fortune 100 companies that make sure you're going to get a check every month for the rest of your life. So not all annuities are bad, but variable annuities tend to come with a lot of surprises, a lot of strings attached, and very high fees.
Okay, we're going to meander outside of the financial realm for this one. Fireworks, overrated or underrated?
I think fireworks are underrated. I love fireworks. I remember when I was a young boy growing up in Minneapolis, me and my two brothers would go down to this place called Powderhorn Park. And it was a small pond, and the hills would go up away from the pond, so it kind of formed this half-circle amphitheater. And they would shoot off fireworks, and I would go. My grandma lived about a block away from Powderhorn Park, and we would watch those fireworks. And when you say fireworks, that's what immediately pops into my mind to this day, some, 45 years later. And so I like fireworks. I think they're underrated. I think they're awesome.
I've never felt more American than I feel in this moment right now. All right, how about this one, Joel? Paying off your mortgage early, overrated or underrated?
Well, this is interesting. From an analytical standpoint, it's probably overrated. In fact, it is overrated. Most people in retirement would be better off with a mortgage if they can get a really, really low interest rate. But most people don't want any debt in retirement. So if we were to look at things on paper, on paper, it makes sense to have a mortgage at a low interest rate in retirement and have that cash not in your house, but have that cash outside the house, owe the bank some money on the house, pay a low interest rate. It can be tax deductible for most people, and then have that liquidity and maybe even earn a better rate of return on the money if you can invest it somewhere else. For example, if I can get a 3.5% mortgage, get a tax deduction on that, my real cost of that money is about 2.75%. And if I can get better than 2.75% net after tax somewhere else, maybe I can put the money in a municipal bond that gives me 4%. Then I'm better off. That's how banks make all their money. But most people do want to go into retirement without any debt. So I think it is overrated to pay off your mortgage. But for some people, they just feel better paying off their mortgage. My dad wants that mortgage paid off. Doesn't matter how much I explain, he can do better by having a small mortgage on the house. He just feels better having that mortgage paid off.
So we're going to split that one. We're saying on paper, it's overrated to pay it off, but underrated from an emotional standpoint, maybe.
Yes, no question about it. People, I have my mortgage paid off. Wendy and I felt real good to have my mortgage paid off. I'm in this business. I know I could make a little bit of spread on the money, but I just like the idea of not owing anything to anyone.
We're playing a game of underrated or overrated. Joel, how about roller coasters? Overrated or underrated?
Underrated. I love roller coasters. After we moved from Minneapolis when I was 13, I lived in Southern California during my teen years, and they had this amusement park, Magic Mountain, and they had the roller coaster called the Colossus. And at the time, it was the largest wooden roller coaster in the world, and I loved that. You had to wait in line for 45 minutes to get up on it, but it was great. So I would say roller coasters are underrated.
All right. Another one outside of the financial realm, and this is actually our last non-financial item for you. We'll get back to the financial realm in just a moment. Overrated or underrated, Joel? Sushi.
If you ask me personally, it's overrated. I don't like the idea of eating raw anything. And so that's just me. All my friends want to go to the best sushi restaurant here and there. They know how to get the California roll and the green stuff on it. And so I don't like that. So when we go to the Japanese restaurant near my hometown, I always get the hibachi. I like hibachi steak, hibachi chicken. I love all the vegetables and so on. But I do not like the sushi. Just me. I know I'm going to make some enemies by saying that. But not a big sushi fan. I don't like the idea of eating raw food.
Fair enough. All right, another one for you. Overrated or underrated, getting a big tax refund?
Well, if you get a big tax refund, it basically means you've loaned the U.S. government money throughout the year and not earned any interest on it. So I think getting a big tax refund is overrated. You don't want to get a big tax refund. That means you're paying extra in during the year. You'd be better off using that money or saving that money. There's one exception to this. If you're really bad with money, if you're really bad saving money, and that's the only way you can save money is to let the IRS have it and then return it to you every April, then maybe it's not so bad. But for most folks, certainly for our clients, should not be getting a big tax refund. Again, it means you've made an interest-free loan to the IRS.
It's always interesting to me when people brag about how big their tax refund is, like they got away with something. It's like going to McDonald's, getting a Big Mac, handing them a 20, and then bragging about the fact that you got $13 change.
Well, with this new tax cut, it's interesting. So I was reading a statistic, and actually Heath Grossman in my office brought this to me. And he said the majority of Americans, something like 75%, got a tax cut under the new Trump tax law. They actually got a tax cut. However, most of them don't think they got a tax cut because they didn't get as big of a refund. What they don't understand is the payroll taxes got reduced, so they got more money in every paycheck, but because they didn't get a bigger refund, they don't think they got a tax cut. A lot of Americans have a lot to learn about money, and it's really sad that people don't understand more about money than just being able to measure how much they're paying in taxes by if they got a refund or not.
I don't know if this is actually true or not, but somebody told me that in China, you don't pay taxes throughout the year. You just get a letter that is, you show up at this place on this date, and here's how much you owe in taxes when you come. And you better have that money when you show up.
And I think that's the way it used to be here in the U.S., and then people couldn't pay, so they started the payroll deduction system. I'm pretty sure somebody told me that a while back.
People would have a much more clear understanding of what they're paying in taxes if that's how it worked.
Yeah, if you had to write a check, there would be another tea party here.
All right, last one for you, Joel. Overrated or underrated Roth IRAs?
Well, I think they're underrated. I think more people should convert to Roth IRAs or start funding Roth IRAs that are presently doing it. That money is tax-free forever. You don't have to take any money in a Roth retirement plan. You don't have to take minimum required distributions at age 70 and a half. I can pass my Roth IRA to my kids, to my grandkids, absolutely tax-free. The Roth IRA is a real home run. The question is, does it make sense for you to convert over to a Roth IRA or not? And that's the big question. That's why we do an analysis for folks to figure out, should they convert over to a Roth? But boy, if we all had it to do over again, I'm sure we would all rather have that money in Roth IRAs that we have currently in traditional IRAs.
Well, Joel, if somebody wants some help figuring out some of these specifics as it relates to their own financial plan, what can you recommend for them?
Well, come on in, call us, come on in, get the Money Map Retirement Review. We'll go through an analysis. It's absolutely free. There's no obligation. But when you come in and visit with us, sit down, have a cup of coffee, we go through an analysis of what you're presently doing and if it's the best thing based on your goals. So a lot of this time is spent getting to know you, finding out what are your goals, what are your dreams. Tell us about your family. Tell us about your occupation, if you're still working or if you're already retired. And we want to do an analysis to make sure what you are presently doing matches up with what you're telling us. Because most people, their investments do not line up with their goals. In fact, most people are way off. They're either taking too much risk, they don't have a real financial plan, they just have an investment plan, they haven't thought through the next 20 or 30 years of their lives, they don't have an estate plan for their kids and their grandkids, they don't have a plan to reduce taxes, they just sort of focus on the investments. We want you to have a plan. So the Money Map Retirement Review creates that plan for you. And again, there's no obligation, just give us a call, set up a time for you to come in, get your Money Map Retirement Plan. You'll love it. It's simple to understand. It consists of a one-page plan where your entire financial plan and your entire financial life is put on one page. And then we have an income analysis and also a risk analysis of your present portfolio. So give us a call, 1-800-705-1232. We'll set up appointments for the next 15 callers, 1-800-705-1232. Come on into one of our conveniently located offices. We have offices all over the place, probably one real close to where you're listening to me right now, and get your own Money Map Retirement Plan.
800-705-1232 is that number to call. That's 800-705-1232. You can also text that number if it's easier for you. Just let us know your first and last name. Either way, reach out. Let us know you'd like some help. We'll connect with you later and work out all the logistics to make that happen. Your own complimentary Money Map Retirement Review, 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. You're listening to Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. Joel is a certified financial planner and the CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. We'll open up the mailbag in just a moment, Joel, and see what folks have on their minds for you this week. But first, I wanted to ask you about the trade war. You know, it seems like we have this cycle going on where it seems like we're approaching some sort of resolution, maybe an end to the soap opera. And the market likes that. The market responds favorably. And then we have bad news on the trade war front. And the market doesn't like that. And it just seems to go on and on with this cycle with no end in sight. What are we to make of all this, in your opinion?
Well, there's a couple things. Let's put it in perspective. Market's been going up since 2009. So we are now almost 10 years into this. Actually, we're just a little over 10 years into this massive bull market. We're off the low. We've pretty much gone up without any kind of a correction of at least, or I should call it a bear market of at least 20%. And so this has been a huge run up. We are due for a bad year or two. That's normal. The inhaling and exhaling of an economy just takes markets up and down. And so it's no big deal. Now, when that happens, there's always something to point to that says, well, this was the main cause. And there's some truth to that, whether it's a trade war or a war that breaks out or, you know, some company gets sued or whatever it is that topples the market, causes the market to stumble, there will always be a different excuse, you know, the mortgage crisis and so on. But part of it is just we're just due. We're due for a correction. So in this case, it's the trade war that's running havoc with the markets. But I wanted to put it in perspective of you know, the ups and downs that are normal. And it seems like we back away from a trade war. There's about to be one. There's about to be a trade agreement. And then it turns into more tariffs. And there's retaliatory tariffs from other countries. And so, you know, this is just going to be a while until this gets sorted out. And even if there is an agreement in principle and the markets pop, sometimes it's not a done deal, as we've seen in the past with this administration. We can think something's a done deal, and it's not. And so people just need to hang in there. The important thing is, do you have a financial plan? If you don't have a financial plan, then maybe you shouldn't hang in there. But if you have a strong financial plan, if you're working with the right financial advisor, you need to stick with the plan. Remember, what you're paying that financial advisor for is their coaching. They're getting you to do the right thing when everything in your mind is screaming to do something else. And so if you have the proper plan, and I hope you do, if you don't, you need to get the proper plan. But if you have the proper plan, you need to stick with the plan, because the plan was developed knowing that markets go up and markets go down.
I think it's a great example, Joel, of we just have to be invested, especially if you're retired or about to retire. We just have to be invested in such a way that whatever happens, you're okay. I mean, we can't have all of our eggs in one basket of expecting one outcome or another, because who knows where this stuff goes.
Well, we used to talk about this in our seminars and in our dinner workshops. We used to say, look, don't require the stock market to perform for you to have an okay retirement. Don't have your retirement dependent on a certain performance of the stock market. Have a plan put together so that if the stock market does not perform as you expect, you're still okay. And that's exactly what you just said, John, and it's so important. And if you need the market to perform a certain way for you to be okay, you're in trouble, because chances are it won't perform the way you need it to.
All right, so let's open up the mailbag on that note, Joel, and see what folks have for you this week. By the way, if you'd like to submit a question to the mailbag, just head over to johnsonbrunetti.com. That's Brunetti with one N and two T's. Let us know what's on your mind. We'll answer as many questions as we have time for on the show each week. We start this week, Joel, with Jacqueline, who says, I'm about to sell a farm in another state that I inherited, which will bring me quite a large sum of money. Should I use this money to pay off my house, or just invest the money and use investment income to pay my mortgage for me?
Well, we talked about this a little earlier on the program, didn't we, when we talked about whether paying off a mortgage is overrated and underrated. And Jacqueline, it's based on your individual situation and really your feelings about having debt. You know, once again, most people are better off having a mortgage, borrowing that money at whatever today's rates are, maybe around 4-4.5%, and having liquidity, having control over that money by having a mortgage, because you can always pay off the mortgage if you got the money sitting over here in a separate pocket, right, in a separate account, but you have control over that money. So for most people, they should not necessarily pay off the mortgage. They should make payments on the mortgage with what they're earning on the money. But for other people, and I mentioned my mom and dad earlier, they just don't want to owe anything to anybody. So if that's you, then you should just pay off the mortgage. Again, don't do anything until you have a full financial plan, because you shouldn't be looking at these decisions in a vacuum. You should be looking at these decisions in the context of all your other money, your guaranteed income like Social Security or pensions, your different 401k accounts or investment accounts or brokerage accounts that you have. It's got to be looked at in the big picture.
How about Richard, who says, and this is right up your alley, Joel, because you have, what, two in college right now and one about to go to college?
Did no, right? two in college and two out of college.
Okay, so two have graduated and two are now in. Okay, so Richard says, should I be doing anything besides 529 plans to save for my kids for college, or is that the best option?
Well, in my opinion, the 529 plan is the best option. For those of you that don't know, you can put money into something called a 529 plan. The money can grow without any taxes, and as long as you spend the money on qualified secondary education expenses, college expenses, I should say, there's no tax on the growth. So if I put in $10,000, leave it alone until it's worth $20,000, I don't pay any tax on that growth. If I take out the $20,000, even though I made a $10,000 profit, I don't pay any tax on that, as long as the money is spent on educational expenses, which can also be room, board, books, computers, anything tied to education. And so for most people, the 529 plan is the best way to go. There are some exceptions to that, but probably not worth talking about here on the program. 529, if you're saving for college, is a great way to go.
I'm just curious, Joel, how did you do it with your four boys? Did you save everything, or were you able to cash flow some of it, or did they do loans themselves, or what?
Well, so for my oldest boy, I wasn't earning the kind of money I'm making today, and we didn't have the kind of savings that we do today. He's 29 this year, and so he graduated college, what, 9 years ago or so? He was an early, he graduated high school when he was 16. So I guess it was 8 years ago he graduated college. We paid as we went. We just paid as we went and wrote the checks. He took out some student loans. We wanted him to have some skin in the game. So he owed about $22,000 when he graduated. We paid the balance. And Michael, our second, got a full scholarship from the Navy or the Marine Corps under the ROTC scholarship. So 100% of his school was paid. That was really nice. He's a lieutenant in the Marine Corps now, living out in the San Diego area. And then Joel, who goes to UConn, he did not get any money for college. So we had the money, luckily, we had saved. And we didn't use a 529 plan for him. We just cut a check. And then Noah, who just started school, same deal there. We're just able to write a check for it. So we're very fortunate that way where, you know, for the first, we didn't have a lot of money set aside, hadn't saved anything specifically for college. But the last few boys, we've just been able to, through my income, write checks.
You won't even know what to do with yourself when they're all done with school and you don't have all these checks to write. Because how you've been writing tuition checks for somebody for a decade.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Well, we had a little break between the first and the second. So we had about a four-year, a little more than that, break there. But, yeah, it's going to be, well, it's going to be another 4 years. And we've been, yeah, it's going to be 6 years straight of two kids in college.
Time to head down to the car dealership when that time
Head down to the car dealership, head to the islands, do something.
Yep. All right, last question in the mailbag today is from Lillian, who says, I'm considering working with a new financial advisor, but only with half my money. I want to keep the other half with a different advisor. Since you're a neutral third party without a vested interest, I'm hoping you can confirm that this is a good idea, since I'd be able to get advice from multiple people.
I think for the average person, this is not a good idea. When I say the average person, I mean maybe somebody that is either in retirement or coming up to retirement, and let's say they have between $500,000 and $1 million saved. So maybe that's a little upper average. But I think for that person that with less than $1 million, it probably makes sense to work with one advisor, unless you're just testing one out for a year or two. But long run, it makes sense to work with one advisor. That's almost like playing one doctor against each other for the same condition. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, when we get into higher net worth individuals, maybe $2 million, $3 million, $5 million, $10 million, it's not uncommon for them to have several advisors. And I don't think there's much harm in that as long as there's somebody quarterbacking the whole thing. But for the average family, they should have one financial advisor that sees the whole picture.
A lot of good questions today, Joel, and they all strike right at the heart of what you do, which is retirement planning. If folks are in that boat, retired already or getting close to it, how can they get their own Money Map retirement review?
Well, here's the bottom line. You've been working hard on this for the last 30 or 40 years, right? You've earned your money. Some of you are already retired, and you've worked hard to advance your families, your career. You've raised your kids. Now it's your time. It is your time, and the worst thing that can happen now that it is your time to either get across the finish line to retirement or living in retirement and having a successful retirement, the worst thing that can happen is that your retirement plans are blown up by poor investments or by lack of a financial plan. So the Money Map lays that to rest. We will lie out for you through this Money Map process on one page your entire financial life. We'll give you our recommendations. We'll look at any adjustments that need to be made, if they need to be made. Some people are okay when they come in and visit with us, but we'll let you know. We'll let you know whether you need to make adjustments or not, but it's based on your goals, on your dreams, not some cookie cutter program that's been developed by some giant brokerage firm. And so that's what the Money Map is. We do an income analysis for you. We'll do a stress test on your portfolio. We'll put your entire financial life on one page. And that makes the retirement planning process stress-free. It will give you the ability to see, obviously through our eyes and through our experience, but to see your financial future and decide if you want to make some adjustments or leave our office feeling much better about your situation. So it's the Money Map. Give us a call, get your income analysis, get your stress test, get your whole financial life put on one page. We love helping people. There is no cost to this. There's no obligation. We'll take calls for the next 15 minutes at 1-800-705-1232. Again, it's 1-800-705-1232. Set up a time to come in, visit with us, and get your customized Money Map.
You can call or you can text, whichever is easiest for you. 800-705-1232. 800-705-1232. No cost or obligation to come in for your Money Map retirement review. When you leave, you'll also take with you a copy of one of Joel's books. But most importantly, you'll have that plan, the Money Map in your hands to show you what you need to be thinking about with your money moving forward. 800-705-1232. That's 800-705-1232. This has been Joel Johnson's Money Wisdom. We'll talk with you next week, right here, same time, same place. Have a great week.
Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Money Wisdom is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti.